RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good afternoon, Patriots. And, of course, welcome back to another exciting episode of Occam's Razor. And happy Pride Day! You don't want to draw the ire of the rainbow people, so make sure that you wish your friends and neighbors happy Pride Day. And, of course, my good friend Abe Keelan is here. Al Keelan, Uncensored Abe. The man, the myth, the legend. We've got so many interesting things to talk about. Last night, in the dead of night, under the cover of darkness, House Republicans gave the Democrats exactly what they needed to continue driving America into the ground. As far as I can tell, we've got 71 people in the House who can see the writing on the wall. And there's another 149 others who need to get primaried. I'm not the only one who thinks that. There's been a lot of discussion about the possibility of Kevin McCarthy playing a role here. He very well may be. But from my perspective, what we need to do is wake America up. And you wake America up by showing them how they've been sold out by their government. Do me a favor. Sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and me and Abe will be right back after this. All right, good afternoon and welcome back. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us today. Let me just oblige the audience by getting that Rumble chat up on screen. And do me a favor, guys, if you wouldn't mind hitting that like button, if you wouldn't mind hitting that red pill, letting everybody know that, yes, in fact, we are live and we have so much to discuss. Al, how are you today, buddy?
I'm hanging in there, man. Big Mom was out there. Foxhole fam, check in over there. Foxhole, is the chat working okay over there? Hope all is well. Real Red Pill girlfriend and Real Red Pill mom, great to see you guys out there. I hope you guys had a great summer vacation kind of little get-together there with the graduation and everything. I'm glad to see that you made it home safely. God bless you all. And a bunch of great patients over there on Rumble today, working their way here today as well. Great to see you guys out there. Yeah, lots to talk about today. I got some harsh criticism for MTG and McCarthy and myself. We'll get to that just here in a little bit.
All right. I'm just trying to get the Rumble chat on screen. For some reason, it's not working. I don't know what the deal is.
Hey, Kat, how are you?
There we go.
Deb, great to see you as well. Anxious to hear this podcast. I thought it was supposedly a good deal based on McCarthy's interviews. Yeah, see? They do such a really good job of spinning this stuff.
Yeah.
And campaigning for your dollars, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll be really honest with you guys. It is not a good deal, despite whatever Kevin McCarthy has tried to make it appear to be. I have to be honest, I think that the release, the announcement just a couple of hours later, early this morning by MTG, that they are finally releasing the January 6th footage once again to a select group of journalists, I feel like that is scraps off the plate. They're trying to keep people placated because they know that a vast number of people out there have been paying attention to this and are not going to simply settle for the idea that this debt deal is good for America. As I reported on Monday, Kevin McCarthy shaved $1.5 billion off of Joe Biden's already extravagant spending plans. We still sending more money to Ukraine. The war, the proxy war between Russia and Ukraine is not ending. Hundreds of millions of dollars continue to get funneled over there. Lindsey Graham continues to gleefully rant and rave about the number of Russians that we're killing. Never mind the Americans who are dying here on the streets every single day because of our porous southern border. Our southern border sits unfinished, not because we have a lack of funding or a lack of people who are willing to do the work, but because we have a lack of initiative coming from Washington, D.C. They don't want the problems in America to be fixed, and yet they continue to spend more and more money. The money keeps getting funneled out. So we now have $78.5 billion for Joe Biden's 87,000 IRS agents. What do you think that's going to do to those IRS agents, Abe? It's a drop in the bucket. It's not going to change anything. Those people are now going to come online. They're going to be ready to go, and they're going to be looking for something to do. And considering the fact that they're going to have subpoena and arrest power and the ability to come and knock on your door with a sidearm on their hip, if they want to take a look at your receipts, well, damn, you better well let them in. But of course, you need to ask them if they have a warrant first. I don't know how that's going to go. This is unprecedented territory. And the reason I'm so angry about this is because Kevin McCarthy and the House Republicans had an opportunity to truly push back on the unrestrained spending of Washington, D.C. It's not just the Democrats. It's the Democrats and the Republicans. We can take a look at the vote itself. 149 Republicans voted yes for this spending bill. 165 Democrats voted yes for it. 71 Republicans voted against. 46 Democrats voted against. And but two of each were not present. No vote. Now, the only reason the Democrats didn't vote for it is because it didn't go far enough on climate change and probably LGBTQIA plus issues. But the 71 Republicans who voted against it, they voted against it because it's bad for America. Kevin McCarthy can spin this all he wants, but this is a wolf in sheep's clothing, Abe. And thank you to Janice, who says Lindsey Graham is furious that the bill doesn't contain money for Ukraine. My God, folks. What are we doing here? What is our government doing for the American people? Not much, as far as I can tell.
They are completely tone deaf. They don't really give a shit about the American people. They only care about their big money donors, like we were talking about before the show. The military industrial complex owns the Republican Party and the Uniparty of America, and they are showing their true colors by basically controlling the process of the budget. And you know, when the military industrial complex almost literally writes the budget deals for you and holds a default over your head every time it comes to this crisis scenario, where is America going to default? The world's waiting for America. Every freaking 6 months, it seems like we go through this stuff. You know what a Republican with a spine would have done? They would have said, okay, I'll tell you what. We will capitulate, because let's be real. The House Republicans don't have any freaking actual power whatsoever. No. They have the power of the purse. It is the only power that they have. And it seems like the times when they actually have the ability to rein in the Justice Department and the January 6th committee and deal with the political prisoners in America and start to pull back the funding of the garbage Justice Department and the political targeting of political opponents and anyone who's not a radical left Nazi in this country. It's out of control, bro. And I'm so disappointed in MTG. The reality of what she does out there is exactly what everyone has been saying. It's all a freaking show to pull in money for people. That's it.
Yeah.
And they're having people donate to WinRed. Having people donate to the establishment that does the same shit over and over again, that just continually sells us out to the military industrial complex, because let's be real, they own this country and they own the budget process. And the thing that pissed me off the most about this is the timing of the January 6th video release.
Me too.
As if we are too stupid and too moronic to realize that they're doing this as political capital to cover for a garbage deal. And so I say this. Hey, everyone, I realize innocent families are still being destroyed and political prisoners are rotting in American prisons, but I'm going to wait to release the truth about the January 6th until, you know, I need a shiny object to distract everybody from the truth that Anons were right again. Mm-hmm. I'm just another spineless rhino, signed Kevin McCarthy.
Yes, and it only after some of the most high-profile January 6 trials have concluded. Are they finally now releasing this footage? To be honest, I feel that they've done absolutely nothing to assist the men that have been languishing in prison this entire time. Many of them are in there under gag orders. They're not allowed to talk about their cases. They're living in deplorable conditions. They're being beaten, starved, harassed. They're living in just the most inhumane conditions that you can imagine. Meanwhile, you know, I'm glad that Marjorie Taylor Greene is now finally able to participate in Washington politics, but until she does something that actually helps the people of America and the people that she represents, it's all hollow as far as I'm concerned. Now, Steve Bannon, you know, he's fired up about this too. He says that we need to be primarying Jim Jordan and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I don't disagree with him. Because these people will make bad decisions. They will make poor political decisions for as long as we allow them to. If there's no one else to stand up against them because we hold them on this pedestal and say, well, Jim Jordan has been great in these respects. He's done some incredible things in terms of the questions that he's asked people when he's been chairing these committees, or Marjorie Taylor Greene goes on Twitter and does press conferences and gets people all riled up. That's all fine and good. But what are they doing when they vote? And as far as I can see, they're not doing much of a damn at all. So Steve Bannon thinks we should be primarying them. I think we should be primarying them. I think that this is an affront to the American people. We need people in Washington, D.C. that are America first, that are truly America first. And on that note, I actually need to announce something. Our good friend Jerry Majewski has been forced to drop out of the 2024 race for Ohio's 9th district. His mother is not doing well. He obviously lost his father during the primary season last time. And he just said that he would never forgive himself if he lost his mother during this race here. So he's decided to step away. He's going to focus entirely on his family. I don't blame him, JR. We love you. And hopefully we'll get somebody else in there who can take out Marcy Kaptur or at least keep that seat warm for you until you can go ahead and run in a couple of years.
Yeah, and I see chat saying, you know, Jim Jordan keeps showing his true colors. And, I'm with you. You know, this is why I came to the conclusion 5 years ago, throw them all out. Hashtag throw them all out.
Yeah.
Because anyone who is in D.C. and is beholden to the establishment is controlled in some kind of way by, you know, the money that controls D.C. And this is why this battle is much bigger than just, 26 House Freedom Caucus Republicans, or however many that number is, and the 100 and some that we actually have voicing for us all the time, and not just for Fox News or for the cameras, and you see so many of these patriots. I believe they're patriots. You know, they're just it's the process of DC is broken, and in order to get stuff done, people feel like you have to work through the process in DC, and so you just get beholden to the process, man. And the House. The House is the only ones who could have stood up. And there was, what was the vote? 7-6, I think it was, in the House committee to pass the resolution to get this thing moving. That was our chance.
7-6, exactly. At that point, we could have actually done something about it. Yeah.
That was our chance. So let's focus in on there. Let's the problem is so massive. Let's focus in there. Let's focus in on those committees. And let's try to make sure that we're being as loud as we possibly can, because that's part of the thing that I think we keep forgetting is our voice really does matter. They hate hearing from us. They would rather just have nobody bothering them, calling them, letting them know what the real voice is, so they can just look to their military-industrial complex cronies and say, hey, well, how do you want me to vote on this?
Yeah, we have got to be active participants in this process. If we are not going to be the ones running— If we're not going to be the ones making these decisions, then we have to put the pressure on the people who are making the decisions. I want Marjorie Taylor Greene and I want Jim Jordan to know just how badly they have screwed up. I want them to understand how poorly they have treated the American people and how let down we feel. This is a betrayal, you know, and when I was talking about this yesterday, a number of people suggested that, you know, maybe Kevin McCarthy and others are playing a role to help hasten the destruction of America. I'm not saying that they're not. But what's not everybody's going to realize that, though, even if it's true. You know, the majority of normies are going to look at this and they're going to say, what the hell is going on? Why are they voting to spend more money in Ukraine? Why are they voting to hire more IRS agents? Why are they spending tens of millions of dollars on illegal aliens? Why are they not closing the southern border? Why am I no safer? Why is my bank account smaller? These are the things that matter to the American people. These are the things that activate the rank and file conservative America First people out there who need to stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. So I am perfectly behind the idea that there may be and likely is some type of plan happening behind the scenes, but there is a distinct possibility that certain people have no idea they're even playing a role in it. Kevin McCarthy might just be the rhino scumbag that many people believe him to be. Certainly, it appears to me he's playing that role on TV, and that's what's important. People need to be angry about the things that are happening in Washington, D.C., so that they can stand up and choose to do something about it. So that's what I think we need to focus on, getting people activated. We have been working on spreading truth for years now. I think that for a long time I've said this. We have progressed. We have evolved in the focus and the scale of our movement. We went from a community of anonymous patriots hiding behind keyboards, posting snarky things on social media, sharing spicy memes and video clips. And now we have moved out in front of the cameras and we are moving into the political sphere. We are the future of this country because nobody else appears to want to be that future. I am not willing to abdicate this nation. I am not willing to hand it over to the illegals and the radical left and the woke Marxist agenda that these people are attempting to shove down our throats. Abe, do you want to set up this clip for us that Steve Bannon had for us?
I mean, if people are – the frustrating part of this is good people are being manipulated by these people every single day. And Kevin McCarthy goes out there and does his – you know, look, let me do my best to defend this. They have to do something, right? Let's be real. They have to do something. So in order to get the Democrats' vote, they're going to have to capitulate in order to get the vote. I get that. I understand that. That's fine. Then do it for 1 year. Do me a favor, Chad. Call your senators right now. I don't care who they are. Just have your voice heard. Say, if you want to do a deal that screws over the American people, fine. Do it for 1 year. Don't throw this down our throats for 5 or 6 years that they have a blank check given to the Biden administration to continue this illegal war, first of all. Second of all, to continue to ignore the border. And then third of all, continue to ignore the American people with regards to January 6th and the truth about January 6th while people are still rotting in prison, innocent people rotting in prison and grandmas being raided, you know, daily. It's ridiculous.
It is. Now, Ainsley Michelle says that she's blackpilling. Honey, do not blackpill. Please do not mistake my passion to fix this nation for a statement that all is lost. I'm going to make my point again. The only way that people can gather the strength, the desire to want to change things is when things are bad enough that they can't progress along any longer. We have got to take this country to the brink if the vast majority of people are going to wake up. And my passion is designed to light a fire under each and every one of you so that you can feel that same passion and make the decision to stand up and take action in your local communities. It's not because the world is ending. It's not because things are so bad that we're never going to fix it. I do not believe that. I truly believe that we are transforming this nation, and it is painful. Change is always difficult, and along the way, there will be bumps in the road, okay? Anybody out here who's a veteran, anybody who's ever seen active combat, okay, you know exactly what I'm talking about. War is hell. You see things that you wish you could unsee. You go through experiences that you wish you never had to go through. But at the end of the day, when you come out on the other side, you have been strengthened by that fire. You have been forged into something different than you were when you began that mission or that adventure. And right now, that's exactly what's happening here in America. We have the upper hand. At the end of the day, God wins. Okay, we are on the right side of history. We just have to open enough eyes so that people can understand and recognize that they've got to be part of this solution. Yeah, we've got people in Washington, D.C. who do not care about us. We got people in Washington, D.C. who are interested in their own ego, in their own pocketbook, in making sure that they get reelected. And that's why we keep seeing the Republicans capitulate to the Democrats. Not a once in, I guess, my entire adult lifetime do I remember the Democrats capitulating to the Republicans. Do you ever remember the Democrats coming to the Republicans and saying, okay, you know, we're going to scale this back. We're going to give you these wins so that we can go ahead and get this debt ceiling fixed? No, they always stand their ground. They always stand their ground. And how many of us have called our elected officials, our senators or our congressmen, and let them know, you can't keep acting like this. You have got to go hard. If you don't put your foot down, then the Democrats are just going to keep pushing that line back until finally, eventually, America is lost. You have to do something about it.
Yeah, and the frustrating part is there's so many spineless people in D.C. that are just beholden to the special interest. You know, they get into D.C. and then they realize that they don't really have any actual power, nor do we. Our only power is through the purse. So if you're looking at blackpilling the world, then take a look at what's going on with Bud Light and Target. $20 billion in a week is no, I think it was $20 billion. A shit ton of money in 1 week, I'll put it that way. Stock price is just crashing. The power of the person, the power of the people, they are fired up and they are sick and tired of this crap. And so, you know, my advice is make a phone call right now. I don't care who it is. Just say, listen, we're sick and tired of this crap and we're going to do everything we can to vote you out of office if this deal passes in its current form. And then secondarily, stop giving money to any establishment candidate, period. Yes. Give it to President Trump's campaign directly or just find a candidate directly to give it to. Vote with your wallet when it comes to political parties as well.
Okay. Dixie Bell says, I did. It did zero good. Did you keep calling them? Do they know you by name? Have you continued to write to them? Do you stay on their ass? Because that's the only way you're going to get through to them. A single call will do nothing. But 100 people calling the same person on the same issue, that raises alarm bells in these Republicans, and it does it, I'm sure, in Democrats as well. Politicians do not want to hear from constituents. And so if you become a thorn in their side, they have no choice but to start actually hearing you. So don't just do it once. Continue on. Keep going. All right. What's up with this clip here, Abe?
So Bannon has just been on fire lately. No wonder I can't get an audience because I'm going up against him during that time. So I've been mixing around my time, show starting times and stuff, and just trying different things here and there. So keep an eye out for that. But, you know, he is emphasizing this point as well. You know, when you talk to politicians and you talk to the insiders, one phone call or one email, they look at that as a constituent of 1,000 to 10,000 people.
Yeah.
So when you think that it is just you and your voice being heard by your local House Republican or your senator or whoever else it may be, they look at that as a voice of 1,000 to 10,000. So look at your voice in that manner. Now, if you have 10 people calling in the next 10 minutes here, right, suddenly, you know, people's ears start ringing and they have to start dealing with the voices of the people and the people who have the power to vote them in or out. So, you know, part of the problem that we forgot in this country is we forgot how to play the game. Our generation and the generation in front of us just put the trust in the people in D.C. and said, okay, you're there to represent us. Obviously, I'm sending you there and you're going to represent us. And the part of the awakening that everybody is seeing in this country, no matter what your political persuasion is they don't really give a shit about us. and people in this country are sick and tired of sending people to D.C., expecting them to do the bidding of us, not the globalist power in D.C., and just getting sick and tired of it.
All right, here we go. Let's go ahead and pop this on.
Because this is controlled opposition. They want to take the power away from you. They hate more than anything else, except for taxing their rich donors and making their rich donors pay for this woke and weaponized government that they so greatly love. Right? They want it. They want the woke and weaponized. If the large donors, think about it, if the large donors didn't agree with the woke, why do we have the corporations? Look at the Mac Daddy on Drudge right now. You got the whole Pride Month in June and all the fights at Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch and the fights at Target, the fights everywhere because they're up in your grill. You got the guy with the mustache, taking kids around Disneyland dressed up as, I don't know, one of the Snow White, right? You've got all that. Why, if you didn't have that, if the elites and the big donors were not in cahoots with the corporations with ESG and DEI and all that, you wouldn't have it. They absolutely are. They don't care. That's not about money. All they care about is their money. This folks, if they believed, if the establishment believed, when you call 202-225-3121 and ask, hey, if you believe in this two tree, and why are there no caps in this thing? Why don't you cap it? Why is it unlimited? You must not believe in it. They're not going to be any savings. They're not going to be any. That's all nonsense. No cuts here. That's all optics. It's not even good optics. It's been shredded time and time again by Bob Good, by Russ Vogt, by many of the smartest guys around here, by the team over at FreedomWorks, Adam Brandon and the team. You've got the team at Heritage. You've got some of the teams I'm not particularly fond of, right? Some of these guys are the virulently anti-MAGA or anti-Trump. They're even shredding it because it's not – they treat you like idiots. So when you call today, say, hey, if this stuff was real, why don't you have a cap on it?
Yeah. Why don't we have a cap on it? They don't care. It's not real. It's all fake. The whole system is fake. Now, I just also want to remind people, Abe, you brought up an important point. OK, the fight against Target, the fight against Bud Light. Steve did the same thing. Washington, D.C. is not the only game in town. These people listen to money. OK, they listen to where the American people are spending their cash. And, it's a series of battles. It's back and forth. Bud Light losing, nearly $20 billion now. I mean, they're at risk of going out of business. They may not be around for much longer. I hope they do. Yeah, they've been dethroned as the largest beer manufacturer in the world or the number one beer, whatever it might be.
The queen of beers.
Yeah, the queen of beers. And Target, too, also losing a ton of money. They barely put that display out. They barely put it out before Americans immediately turned on them and said, hey, we're not going to spend our money there anymore. You know what's really funny is now the satanic transgender man who actually designed all of those satanic trans Pride Month products for Target is now coming out and decrying the ideas of rainbow capitalism. Let me explain to you what that means. This is the practice of a corporation placating to the LGBTQIA+. Hold on a second. In Canada, they have a different. It's the L2SLGBTQIA+ and then plus plus plus. This is the practice of corporations pandering to the LGBTQI, whatever it might be, community, and creating products and marketing just designed to capture their marketing budget. Yes, these people exist, and I have no problem with them existing. What I care about is corporations attempting to shove this woke ideology down our throats. And it looks like the very person who was behind the shoving of that woke ideology down our throat is also against the shoving of that woke ideology down our throat. Because I suppose at the end of the day, Abe, this person wants Target to be essentially celebrating Pride all year long, okay? They want every month to be Pride Month. They want every month to be about this this woke ideology and the propagandizing to our children and the brainwashing of our children. So I just thought that it was hilarious to see them complaining about this.
So I've been an activist for a very long time, as you know. As soon as Barack Obama came to the stage, I knew what he was going to do to this country. I knew he was going to slow boil frog us,
yeah.
And normalize a culture of radicalism that is going to be very scary for America and for our children. And so when I was loud back when they wanted to pass gay marriage. And I was a racist homophobe for saying something as simple of, well, people who have a hard time with sexuality and are over-sexualized are usually abused as a child. Mm-hmm. Those people that I've come across with in my life usually in some kind of way have a hard time with that kind of behavior in general and a hard time not sexualizing children. And I said, maybe it's a bad idea that we start normalizing this and stop normalizing this in our culture and start holding up to some traditional values. If I have no problem with how you want to live your life. If that's how you want to live, fine. Keep it in your bedroom. And they told me that I was a homophobe psycho for daring to say that maybe that this would move from just gay marriage into the normalization of pedophilia in this country, which now you look around and laws in this country are so freaking pathetic that apparently the normalization of pedophilia has been going on for a very long time.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's what it appears to me. It appears to me that pedophilia in the generations ahead of us seem to be a normal living lifestyle. So for my brain to try to process going from this concept of the gay culture and trying to be tolerant of somebody who maybe is a gay conservative like Brandon Strzok, who I have a lot of respect for, in the same token, having the stance of as a federal government policy stance, these things are not decisions the federal government should be involved in.
No.
So now you're just watching that normalization continue to be shoved down the throats of the Americans every single day. And people like me who 15 years ago were saying, hey, this could lead to more problems with pedophilia in our country, are sitting here going, hello, more? Can we get in a couple of weeks here in Chicago? They're going to hold a trans event for children. They're literally inviting children to the event in a Chicago park, public park, to have trans adults dance like a bunch of psycho freaks in front of kids. I mean, the problem with pedophilia in this country is probably the biggest problem that nobody wants to talk about. It drives me nuts, bro.
I absolutely agree. Now, I'm not all that surprised that Chicago's doing that. Unfortunately, you know, that's just the world we live in nowadays, and I expect it from a woke haven like Chicago. But good news, the Pentagon has just shut down a child-friendly drag show called The Queen's Legacy with such storied performers as LaWanda Jackson, Coco Montrese, and Carney Asolada. I don't know exactly what that says, but this was a family-friendly affair. And one of the people that we have in Washington, D.C., who does have our back is Matt Gaetz. And thanks to the pressures of Matt Gaetz, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, who we're also going to talk about in another story, have ordered Nellis in Nevada to shut down this children's friendly drag show. Yes, pedophilia is one of the number one problems that people refuse to face in America. And it's not just because it's an uncomfortable subject. It's because so many sick mother effers are engaging in this behavior, and they're exploiting children, not only physically and spiritually, but monetarily. They're using children as a way to line their own pockets and force their own ideology down the throats of normal, average, everyday Americans. Nobody wants to hear about my sex life, Abe. I don't want to hear about anybody else's sex life either. You know, that is something that's private. That's something that should be relegated to the home. You don't need to be out there talking about that stuff or forcing people to confront the types of things that you do. Not that I'm all that special, but I don't want to hear about it from these people. I don't want to hear about it in any respect, and I certainly don't want it paraded around children. You know, it's like for the people who get angry or say, you know, call me a homophobe or a transphobe for saying that this is a bad idea. You know, I can't believe that anyone would be comfortable with a female porn star going and doing a story time hour at a kindergarten. I mean, don't you think that people would immediately understand that there is something inherently wrong about taking someone from such a sexualized position and putting them in front of children to influence them in some way? You know, I mean, can you imagine Debbie Does Dallas at the daycare center, at the Reading Rainbow Room or whatever it might be, wherever you're sending your kids for daycare? No, people automatically know that there's something wrong with that. But when you put a man in a dress and throw a Dr. Seuss book in their hand, suddenly it's about inclusion and diversity. It doesn't make any sense.
You know we're doing something right when Tesla Dove gets fired up in chat. It's good to see you, Tesla Dove, and I love seeing you fired up. So you know we're on point getting people on the right kind of ideas of what we're talking about here, because that's really what it's about. It's about normalization of pedophilia. It yeah. really is. And I don't understand what line you're drawing. I you know, for me, I'm not interested in your pronoun. If you are participating in a sexualization of children, I don't care what other thing you, I don't know what your line is there. But anyways, it's good to see you fired up. I love to see that. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, the more people that are starting to finally wake up to this stuff and start saying, you know what, I don't need to be tolerant of freaks parading around in public parks with children. I don't need to be tolerant of that. And the more people that stand up to it, the better. I mean, you're watching that happen daily. And finally, you know, what was it, 4 years ago when Target decided to have single-sex bathrooms? You know, so the writing was on the wall 4 or 5 years ago when Target started doing that stuff. And now people are like, oh, wait a minute. I don't have to be tolerant of this stuff. Yes, that's correct. You do not have to be tolerant. And what they try to silence you with and try to shame you with is it should be looked at as a final way to get strength and to stand for what you believe in.
One second. I have to respond to this.
Hey, Lonely Germans. Good to see you out there. All Briggs, right. Start learning to garden. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea if you got a spot.
So, yeah, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it is about the sexualization of children. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're straight. I don't care if you're into something totally out there that I've never even heard of. When you push that stuff on children, that's what becomes the problem, because there's only one reason to sexualize children, and that's to use them and abuse them. And that's what these people are interested in. It's not about trying to make children accept these things. Well, I guess it is about trying to make children accept these things, so that when they're groomed, that they don't feel that there's something wrong with it, but there is something wrong with it.
Am I wrong in the idea that there's the vast majority of gay people in this country, or pronoun people in this country, that are over-sexualized or abused as children? And the vast majority of them are in the gay culture. I mean, can we start facing the facts of the reality of the world we live in and stop, you know, shying away from it? It's a fact of our culture. It's a fact of our reality that the vast majority of children who are abused end up as adults, you know, sexual freaks.
I have known several adult gay men who were abused as a child. And I want to be very clear here. I am pissed off about the sexualization of children from the modern LGBTQ community as much as I am about the abuse of children in places like the church, whether it's Catholic Church, Protestant Church, Judaism, or yep. Islam. I don't care where it is. This is a problem that extends beyond all boundaries, all right? People who are psychopaths who want to abuse children will put themselves in positions of power so that they can. And that's really what the issue is at the heart of it. So you said something about Chicago earlier, about the drag event that's going to be taking in place in Chicago. I thought it was stunning a couple of weeks ago when the people of Chicago were finally waking up to the destruction of America, and the fact that the leaders of Chicago were pushing the agenda for the illegals coming through, rather than actually putting money into social service programs and community programs in Chicago. Well, the city council in Chicago has now just approved $51 million in aid for illegals. And this might be a hard lesson for the people of Chicago, but I think it's a lesson that they need to learn. You know, they've been complicit in helping to push this left-wing woke agenda, maybe not because they're interested in woke principles, but because the Democrats have positioned themselves as the party of, you know, these lower middle class Americans. They pander to the black and the Hispanic communities in the same way that they pander to the LGBT community as well.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the sad part about Chicago is the Chicago's teachers union has literally spent the past 50 years brainwashing the children of Chicago to a point where they can't tell the difference between this woke agenda anymore and reality. So you have generations of kids in Chicago who are, you know, completely brainwashed into this stuff. And then you have the teachers union abusing children in front of you by forcing them to wear masks. You know, that culture is a dangerous culture, and it's it's part of a bigger mentality that that scares the shit out of me in this country, because it's not just this country. Worldwide, it's a bigger problem.
It is. But I think Chicago is an excellent example of what happens when these policies are taken to their logical end. You know, right now, the new mayor of Chicago, since he's come into office, we thought Beetlejuice was bad. This guy is going to prove to be even worse than Beetlejuice. You know, a typical weekend in Chicago is dozens of people being shot or killed in illegal gun shootouts, people who are victimized by violent criminals, people who find themselves living in a dystopian future hellscape. And Memorial Day was no exception. There was the traditional spates of violence and horrible things happening all over the entire city. Now, the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, he blames that violence on community disinvestment and poverty. I think that it's an oversimplification of the problems we're seeing in Chicago. Certainly the criminal element of Chicago is as a result of poverty. People go into lives of crime because they feel they have no other options. But we can go back to the idea of that disinvestment. People didn't just start pulling out of Chicago for no reason. Okay, businesses and money and funding left Chicago because it was at a violent hellscape. It was a place where people could not afford to do business. When the police don't uphold the laws and people know that there is no recompense for breaking those laws, they're going to take advantage of that situation. It gets even worse when you throw in the destruction of the nuclear family, the removal of fathers from homes, the prison industrial complex that we have in America, which perpetuates that cycle. This is a far bigger problem than just poor people angry about there not being any jobs. There could be jobs. Chicago could choose to take that $51 million they're spending on illegals and put it into policing. They could choose to take it and put it into community resource programs, which would teach people how to be active and prominent members of society, giving back instead of taking. But they have shown these people over decades and decades of conditioning and programming that all they need to do is stick their hand out, and Chicago will say, okay. Now, they're no longer able to stick their hand out and say, okay, these people are now just going to be living only in a violent hellscape, which offers them absolutely nothing at all. So Chicago looks to me to be on a quick ascent to the worst city in America very, very soon.
Yeah, I think you and I have talked about this several times, about Rahm Emanuel and his speech at Brookings Institute for the woke. The Institute for Woke, where, you know, progressives get together and they tell us how smart they are and how the rest of us need to capitulate to their needs. He flat out said to the conference of power brokers that they need to drive a wedge into the middle class. And how do you do that? Well, you start with education, because a person who is not informed and educated enough to be a successful person in society ends up in crime. And then once you get them dependent on the government and in the system and the government, then you have their votes, because you're going to provide for them. It's the same thing that they do over and over again. They call it tolerance. They say, hey, we just need to be tolerant of these people. They create the culture for failure and not for opportunity, not for empowering people, you know, like President Trump did with opportunity zones and other things, where you give The mama bears of the black and the Hispanic communities and in the the minority communities, you empower them by allowing them to try to start something on their own. It's an amazing concept that built America, right? Why hasn't a Democrat city tried that? They don't want people to succeed. It's part of the bigger plan why people like me who get labeled as right-wing radical conservatives for daring to make a stance on something because we're intolerant of a certain thing. Yeah, I'm intolerant of you enslaving the minorities of our culture and now moving on to the white race and middle class and then creating a class divide so that you can further control the difference between the haves and have-nots. It's the same old game over and over again.
Absolutely. Now, just adding on to the troubles of Chicago, the neighbor of Chicago's mayor allegedly beat a woman to death with a baseball bat. Now, they were actually employed at a daycare, so I don't know that they can claim poverty and disinvestment on this one because they had a gainful employment. But they've been charged with first-degree murder after beating this woman with a baseball bat and dumping her body in the alley behind his home. We're talking about a brutal beating here. This woman that was found murdered sustained over 100 injuries to her head, face, and scalp. The suspect is Ariel Smith, had a bail hearing on Tuesday. I wonder if they're going to allow him to just get out on a no cash bail, if he's going to have special treatment because he's the mayor's neighbor. The 41-year-old victim was previously acquainted with Ariel Smith, and they ran into each other on Friday, May 26th at 5 a.m. at a Citgo gas station. They took a CTA bus to the home, and it's right across the street from Mayor Brandon Johnson. They ended up smoking some crack. The victim performed a sex act on Smith, and then the interaction turned violent when the victim was accused of stealing money from him. But, of course, this guy was just high on crack, and so he went ahead and beat her with a baseball bat after stabbing her with a broken piece of pottery. So, again, we go to deeper problems here in the United States. I think it's arguable whether or not this woman may have been beat to death if it wasn't for the fact that they were at home smoking crack together. It's also very scary to imagine that this guy was a daycare worker and was also addicted to crack at the same time. The people of this nation have been degraded in such a way. They are addicted. They are depressed. They believe that there is no hope and that the only place we can go for comfort and solace is to big government. But big government is the problem. Big government created the drug epidemics here in America. Big pharma first started out getting people hooked in the early 20th century on derivatives of morphine, on heroin, on laudanum. They even had cocaine. You could just purchase cocaine and shoot it up anytime you wanted. There's a great show that was on a couple of years ago called The Nick. It was about the Knickerbocker Hospital in New York. And there was a brilliant doctor that worked at the Knickerbocker, just happened to be addicted to cocaine and to heroin because that's what he had available to him and everybody was totally cool with it. Never mind the fact that people were horribly addicted to it and it destroys your life. So now today, we have cheap crack cocaine that's available. We have cheap fentanyl that's available. In Philadelphia, it is zombie land there. There's this stuff called Trank now. And Trank is particularly insidious, Abe, because not only does it produce the zombie-like behavior, people standing, sleeping, or just, you know, slumped over on the side of the road, but where you inject Trank, it has a tendency to reduce blood flow to that area, which then in turn ends up creating these large, rotting, and festering sores. So you literally have people with rotting flesh falling off of their body, stumbling and shuffling and jiving all over the streets, giant areas of people in open drug markets. It's a far cry from the United States that I remember growing up. I remember when I moved to San Diego back in 2000. I was shocked to see homeless people like, you know, pooping and peeing on the streets. I was shocked to see a guy sitting outside of my break area at work shooting up heroin. I couldn't believe it. You had people walking around addicted to crystal meth, their teeth rotting out of their heads. You know, it's only gotten worse and it's gotten steadily worse. And that's because the government, they thrive off of people being in a stupefied manner of life. You know, the less you think, the more easier you are to control. And so that's why this movement is so vitally important, Abe, because we force people to look at these uncomfortable truths. We force people to think about what we can do to actually save this country instead of just being a part of its destruction. I refuse to lay down. I refuse to admit defeat. I refuse to allow these people to continue on in the way that they have. They are in the process of destroying themselves, Abe. I just hope that enough Americans wake up before it allows them to destroy themselves as well. Another place – go ahead. I have another clip I wanted to play, but go ahead.
Yeah, just real quick. You know, I've been so hard on the baby boomer generation, and you know, it seems like the normalization of the drug culture that started way back in, you know, the 60s, 70s – has just created a generation and a generation of kids that are just addicts. I mean, you know, there's a policy decision here at the federal government level and then down to the state level where people need to start having these discussions on legalization of marijuana and all of these things, because the result of what I see happening in our culture around us is a world full of zombies walking around without paying attention to what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
instead of taking care of the future generations, they're more too worried about themselves. It's a huge problem in our world right now, for sure.
No, it is. Real quick before I lose it, I want to make sure that – oops, that's – hold on just a second. There we go. Okay. Rick Acer. Rick Acer says, what's up with Trump? He's been silent. He supported Rhino McCarthy for speaker. Will he disassociate himself from Lady Graham now? You know, when I think about the way President Trump handles situations like this, Abe, I have continually seen him allow people to destroy themselves. Okay, he supported Kevin McCarthy for speaker. Kevin McCarthy made a lot of promises. Lindsey Graham, I think a long time ago, showed himself to be a total traitor and in it for himself, and you know, to do whatever his butt buddies want him to. But President Trump now can openly say, you know, these people have turn their back on America. I certainly hope that he does, but I also think that there's an element of politicization that goes on here. You know, I mean, you said it earlier. You know, I mean, like, this is Washington, D.C. It's a place where deals are made, and it's a place where deals are broken. So President Trump wants the support of these people who are already in office and who he has supported in the past. I think that he has to come out against them at some point, and he needs to say something about this terrible debt deal. And more than that, the continued proxy war that we're fighting against Russia in Ukraine.
Yeah, and President Trump does an excellent job of putting people in positions where they expose themselves for who they are. And part of what President Trump is doing now is getting McCarthy out of the way for when he gets back in power. He'll be exposed, I think. I think he always has a second tier thing he's trying to accomplish here. So then people try to hold Trump accountable for somebody else's, you know, false. It's kind of weird the way that dynamic works. I don't understand trying to hold Trump accountable for Fauci, for instance, right? Oh, like, yeah. Everyone's trying to hold Trump accountable. It's always I guess the buck stops and starts there, right? That's the way it always works. Especially if you have a predispositioned, you know, angle towards somebody. But anyways,
We don't live in a dictatorship, you know, I mean, like, this is government is a collective thing. You know, you've got different people who perform different roles. And, you know, the idea that President Trump is responsible for what Joe Biden and this authoritarian regime, this illegitimate authoritarian regime, did to America with the mRNA vaccines, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. You know, President Trump, imagine all the crap you've got to deal with in your life on a daily basis. Okay, now put yourself in the Oval Office having to micromanage every aspect of the United States government. You better damn well believe that you're going to have other people that you're delegating things to. Okay, you know, I mean, I would, I, and as I've always said, we have no idea what was in the original, quote, vaccines that were supposed to be released under President Trump. I didn't hear about people dying under President Trump. You know, I mean, those vaccines came out at the end of 2020. People were being injected by that. We didn't start seeing mass die-offs until much later, until after people had been forced to take the vaccines. Now, I want to end on this story right here, Abe, because it's something I meant to talk about yesterday. But I've been updating people on the situation with Jamie Foxx, okay? Alleged to have had a stroke. Well, AJ Benza was on Dr. Drew, and he said that he had a person who was actually in the room with Jamie Foxx. Apparently, Jamie Foxx is blind and paralyzed as a result of having been forced to take the vaccine. And here is that clip.
The last couple of years who got the injection. One of my best friends died last Saturday. Paratrooper, ex-special forces, 51 years old, in best shape of his life. I mean, lived life. You have no idea. Just goes to sleep, doesn't wake up. Black guy.
Oh, my.
I think that this ties into the Jamie Foxx theory. I worked my butt off to get a story about why what happened to Jamie Foxx, because it was all baloney what they were reporting. He's playing pickleball. He's responding on Instagram. No, he's not. People do that for you. It's all lies. I had somebody in the room who let me know that Jamie had a blood clot in his brain after he got the shot. He did not want the shot, but the movie he was on, he was pressured to get it. This movie he's doing with Cameron Diaz. And I'm thinking, is that why he blew up on the set a week before this medical emergency happened? Is that why he fired three or four people because he just had it with these mandates? I don't know. But what I found out from the man in the room was that the blood clot in the brain caused him at that point to be partially paralyzed and blind. Because if you read into what they were saying early on, he's communicating with us. That doesn't mean talking. That could be anything. It could be, you know, writing, sign. You know, I know those little code words. And then when you tell me your father's playing pickleball, give me a break. You know, I don't know. There's a great shroud of.
I don't think this man is ever going to survive. And this is a powerful, powerful statement. For AJ Benza to admit this on a show as prominent as Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew has in recent months come out and said that he was misled about this jab, that it is definitely hurting people. Now, take a look at this. When it starts affecting Hollywood, that's when people really start paying attention. Figure skater Piper Gillies has ovarian cancer. Hockey goalie Heinz Linder has testicular cancer. Cyclist Jan Pollock has retired because of heart irregularities. A cricketer named Heath Streak has now been treated for cancer. Paul Simon has had to cancel all of his future concerts because suddenly he's lost his hearing. That creep Sam Smith, who wears in the devil outfit at the Super Bowl, abruptly ended a concert recently and canceled all future dates. Celine Dion has canceled her entire tour because she has an undiagnosed autoimmune condition. Jimmy Buffett, hospitalized, postpones his concert. Enrique Iglesias postpones his concert. All of these people would have been jabbed. They are all victims of it. Major League pitcher David Hess's cancer has returned. Pro wrestler Black G's has multiple myeloma. Rory McIlroy confirms illness heading into the PGA. Philadelphia sportscaster John Kincaid has colon cancer. Every single one of these people are victims of the jab. And as this information comes out, it's a rude awakening. It is a scary truth that people are going to be forced to admit. But I think that Jamie Foxx, someone who, in my opinion, was in the pinnacle of health, he was at the height of his career in Hollywood. If he was forced to take this jab, now has a stroke and is blind and partially paralyzed, can you imagine the effect that's going to have on the American people when they realize it?
To add to the list, my former mother-in-law, who's always the smartest masked person in the room, and her husband, also the smartest person in the room, multiple vaxxed and injured after telling me that they had vertigo when they tried to lay down in bed after getting vaxxed, and they had other weird things happening in their lives that they were going to continue to get vaxxed. This is the kind of mentality that you're dealing with. You're dealing with hypochondriacs who are easily manipulated by the world around them, and you just can't get through to them. It's a crime against humanity of what's happening to the elders of our country. And apparently Americans are all for elder abuse because we don't seem to give a shit about the people who we should be trying to defend in this country. And it's sad to watch. It's been a lot of fun hanging out with you again, as always,
Zach. Absolutely. Let me say thank you to Jimmy Bend, Oregon, who says, look up the words Bible and abomination. Everything evil going on today in our country is being described as an abomination to the Lord. And I see people saying that Jamie Foxx was not forced. No, you're right. He had free will. He could have chosen not to take that vaccine. But it sounds like from what AJ Benza said, he was told by the producers of this most recent film that he was working on with Cameron Diaz that if he didn't take the vaccine, then he wouldn't be able to continue on. And for some people, the idea of money is just too powerful a motivator. I think that anybody, many people out there who were ostensibly led to take the vaccine, they felt that they were forced to do it because without taking it, they would have lost their jobs. They would have lost their family. But the only thing is that now they're going to lose something even more precious, and that is potentially their life. I want to remind everybody that we need to be kind to people who felt that they were put into that position. God forbid any of us are ever in a position where we have to make an impossible choice. There's that film, Sophie's Choice. I remember watching it as a child. You know, there are terrible things that happen out there in this world, and it is it's a scary and difficult thing for people to show the bravery that is necessary to make those hard choices. And I'm glad that we here today are willing to make those tough choices. You guys, I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us today. Thank you, as always, Abe. Let me go over here to our friends on the Foxhole and just read off the final super chats. FilterDog1 says, we are here. Just Duckies dropped a cookie. FilterDog1 also said, I'm waiting for Julie Kelly to unleash the truth about January 6th. I am as well. I'm hoping that they're going to release them in a widespread form, not simply through gatekeepers. Now, and I don't mean to say that in a derisive way or anything, but that's exactly what's happening. Doug Simey, thank you for that cookie. Incorruptible Guardian, thank you as well. Who Cares says, high five to Zach, Abe, and RPGF. Coincidence? Representative Smith R. bows out for the safety of his family. I'm not aware of what that is. I haven't actually heard that story yet. Redeemed Patriot says, make sex holy again. Amen. Nakaz 808 says, thank you for the real news as always. And Just Duckies says, I believe Trump had screened vaccines early on. All testing went through the military. Yeah, I tend to believe that the product that was put out under Joe Biden was not the same as the product that was put out under President Trump. And just, you know, one more thought on that. You know, everybody who condemns Donald Trump for Operation Warp Speed or making the vaccines available completely ignores the fact that the scientific and the elite community told us that if we didn't have a vaccine, that the entire nation would be shut down for the next 5 to 10 years. And that certainly would not have been good for anybody. So they made vaccines available. The people who wanted them rushed out and got them. And even the people who didn't want them oftentimes went out and got them because they thought that that's what they needed to do. Or they thought that they were doing the right thing because maybe they didn't know about shows like this. Maybe they didn't know the truth. I saw someone say Dr. Drew now wants to say it's a bad thing. Well, Dr. Drew only knew what he knew at the time that he knew it. Never forget, every single one of you here watching had a moment of awakening. And up until that point, your eyes were closed. You had no idea what was truly going on here in America. This is why we have to show grace to everyone. This is why we have to welcome them with open arms. If you are a person who was in a position where you felt forced to take the jab and now you understand that it wasn't good, that it wasn't a virtuous thing to do, and that perhaps your life is in danger, I'm glad you're here. And I hope that we can be here to help make your life happy and fulfilling and ensure that you do not fall victim to the same thing that these Hollywood elites are falling victim to because it's sad. I don't care who it is. any loss of life that was avoidable is a sad, sad thing. But as I said early on in the program, this is a war. We are fighting battles, and unfortunately, there will be casualties on both sides. I hope that it's not you, and I certainly hope that it's not me. I love every single one of you. Abe, what do you got coming up today?
I've been streaming all the time, so just look for my channel and come hang out with me if I'm live. But 4 to 6 Central today, normal showtime, and then I'm just trying all kinds of different things. I'm trying because it's such a competitive environment right now. And, you know, Badlands, you guys are just killing me. So I'm just trying a bunch of different things, man. So at nights, I've been just popping live and just hanging out. Probably, you know, back to some type of normal schedule here in the near future, and then bringing some more interviews to you guys here in the near future as well. Zach's been a lot of fun. And chat, thank you all for the great feedback. As always, you guys are amazing Patriots. Come hang out with me today, 4 Central, 5 Eastern. And we'll go through the same kind of topics that we did today and try to bring different perspectives to it all. God bless you, bro.
Oh, yeah. And just one more thing. Don't forget about the final sponsors of the program, our friends at MyPillow. Use code RP78 to save on all of Mike Lindell's incredible products, whether it's the shoes, the slippers, the pillows, the mattress toppers, the towels, all of it. Definitely use code RP78 and MyPillow.com. Also, at My Patriot Supply, prepare with RedPill78.com. You can save $200 off a 3-month supply of emergency foods. And then our friends at Oneness Drops.com, where you can purchase your chlorine dioxide water purification kits using code RP78 to save 15% off. Thank you very much, everyone. Good luck and God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Actually, hopefully I'll see you at 4 p.m. on Taking It Back. Bye-bye.